AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Shoppers turned out for Black Friday. Abrielle Laurent went to the Lakeside Shopping Center in New Orleans, where she was handed a glass of champagne.
When I saw people walking around with it, I thought it was something they were buying. And so when the lady told us it was complimentary, that was even better.
Our Rita Foley has more.
Macy's Herald Square in Manhattan has been bustling with shoppers today. 60% off fashion jewelry, 50% off select shoes, says Macy's. CEO Jeff Gannett says there's significantly more traffic on this Black Friday compared to the previous 2 years because shoppers feel more comfortable in crowds. But how much money will they spend? Analysts say shoppers are buying cheaper items now as higher prices for food, rent, gas, and other necessities weigh on them. They're dipping more into savings and turning to buy now, pay later services. Some are running up their credit cards. I'm Rita Foley.
And I'm Ben Thomas, AP News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation-related, and Brewing says it's badly needed, as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. She wasn't even really sure where she was at.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happier, happy hour, the Friday edition. We air the grievances. My grievance, a special counselor. I wanted to go straight to the indictments. I wanted to declare this Merrick Garland Day up in here. But anyways, going to get a better man than you to talk about it, Dom. We got our good friend, former U.S. Attorney James Santelli. He's joining us right now live via Zoom. He is also the host of his own big show. And you're going to want to tune in tomorrow morning as he goes inside Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Network, originating from the Shaw, W-A-U-K. Jim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. You always move with alacrity, sir.
Hey, Jim.
You know, we do what we need to do, especially for an appearance on this important program. So glad to be with both of you.
Jim, first reaction. I know you had sent a first blush, and I've been talking about the fact this just seems like another unnecessary step in the process, a time-eating step in a process. And ultimately, if I understand, I'm only going by a column by Jennifer Rubin, but if the special counselor ultimately doesn't have ultimate charging decision, if the ultimate charging decision comes back to the attorney general, well, what are you asking your buddy? I mean, do you need to cheat off his homework, or can you just do your own work and get to the indictments already, Merrick Garland? Your thoughts, counselor.
Right. And perhaps in a way that harkens back to history once again, you know, we've been down this road before. And again, I begin by saying that I have great respect for this attorney general. At the same time, I was surprised to hear that for a couple of reasons, some of which have been articulated by my now former colleagues, also former U.S. attorneys under a prior administration, including a woman named Barbara McQuaid, a great friend and colleague of mine, who also said time is everything. And I think that's what is implicit, if not explicit, in your question, Mike, which is that we have now been focusing on this for nearly 2 years. We knew in the afternoon of January 6th that something horrific had happened. We didn't know all the dimensions of it, but we've been investigating this presumably in all its dimensions, or nearly all its dimensions, for 2 years. I am concerned. I am concerned that the insertion of a special counsel here, admittedly coming in the midst of an investigation, admittedly charged with doing this as quickly as possible, nonetheless, for the reasons you've identified and others have identified, may in fact slow this down when the calendar tells us the big story, which is January 2025. We don't know if this present administration will continue beyond then, but we basically have two years in which to prosecute. And to the extent that this may extend that time period for the review, the investigation, the prosecution memorandum, all of this gives me great pause about the timing of this and the possibility that it might be delayed in some way. Hopefully that won't be the case, but that is the concern I think that many of us have on the outside looking in.
Jim, you know I'm chock full of inarticulate crudeism, so far be it for me to split the infinitive with Dominic, but
there's one.
The impropriety, the statement that, you know, the appearance of impropriety has
avoiding even the appearance of impropriety, Jim.
But right. What impropriety has gone on to this point? There's always going to be accusations of political witch hunt. So this is bad vocabulary and someone taking the bait.
Right. And that's, I think, the much related concern that I think I and others have out there, which is just this. I know the attorney general said because both Donald Trump has announced his candidacy and the incumbent has also indicated that he is going to run, that for that reason, it's appropriate for me to put this arm's length decision making process at the arm's length and go down this road. Your point cannot be overstated, which is that's what the role of the Department of Justice is, to be an impartial investigator through the FBI, its other many agencies, to be impartial and apolitical when it comes to making these decisions. We ask this of U.S. attorneys and assistant U.S. attorneys every single day of every single week, 7 days a week, to make these judgment calls, many of which are not in the political arena. I get that. And yes, this is at the top of that list. But nonetheless, we do this all the time. And so this notion that somehow there is going to be this perceived wild perception of impropriety. Yes, there will be the attacks. We've already seen them from Donald Trump arguing about this. If we go down that road and consistently say that anytime there's a politically related investigation and possible prosecution of a candidate, we can't be doing that without appointing a special counsel, then we're carving out a huge amount of responsibility that's never been there before with the Department of Justice. There are people who can do this work. They do it all the time. They're doing it now. And so once again, with due respect, I'm very concerned about the predicates for this, the timing of it. And again, we've got the functionality, if you will, to do this now. Go ahead with it.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Man, you know, I love you, Jim, but what? Carve out a big spot. I mean, this is a very specific case. I mean, right, we have an attorney general appointed by the current president who would be the presumable running opponent of the guy who just announced who's been being investigated. I mean, there's not very many pegs that'll fit in those holes, man. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a huge carve out, Jim.
Well, and to the extent that you're right, as I said, it's at the top of the list, certainly, because you are going to be making decisions premised upon, again, what the evidence shows.
Sure.
The point that I would make once again, that's the kind of thing the Department of Justice is required to do. And is should we be doing this in a situation where because every single pundit tonight and for the next several months is going to be talking about this, that's what drives the decision about how the process works. We've talked a lot on this very good broadcast about the importance of having a separation between the White House and the Department of Justice. I looked at this particular Department of Justice and I see Joe Biden consistently saying, I don't know what's going on over there, not in a bad way, but in a good way. And I think that again, this Department of Justice has established in its admittedly infancy, it's 2 years, has established a record that doesn't smack of the kind of political movement that you would otherwise anticipate. Gosh, the fact that we've spent all this time investigating suggests that there is a very meticulous, thoughtful way of addressing all of this. And so, yes, top of the list. But again, my own sense is that this is something that the Department of Justice can do. And again, I get back to this concept of time. I hope that this does not delay things. Yeah.
Jim, I think there's also, you know, there's the stink of the last Justice Department administration. I mean, Bill Barr certainly did not do all those things that you think that the current Attorney General is doing, right? So given that, I think he needs to be the Department of Justice specifically, knowing what Garland inherited over there from Barr. This isn't for you or I. This certainly isn't for the mega. I mean, this is for the American people who don't want to see, and maybe not dialed in as much, don't do this every day and care as much as we care, and you know, lots of things to pull people's directions and priorities. Totally understandable.
Right.
But I can understand how they would be concerned, or the general population could be concerned, as I would be if I saw all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we don't want to see a Department of Justice prosecuting the former executive, just, you know, for political reasons, and because now he's running, right? That's you got to be very careful about that. And given the from what I've heard of Mr. Jack Smith, sounds like he's dialed in, man. This guy sounds like a bulldog. And given all those circumstances, I mean, if we lose a week, maybe
it's more than a week. Tell him, Jim.
What do you think? How much time are you really thinking, given this guy's qualifications?
Right. I am really hesitant to speculate on that because I don't know about the extent to which things like, is he going to be bringing in some of his own colleagues and staff? Plainly, we recall when Mueller came in, assembled his own staff. We know that there's a significant amount of staff already inside the Department of Justice been working on this. If he walks in and maybe brings a few people in and otherwise has to get up to speed, it may be a matter of weeks. And so maybe my time concern is not quite as great under that circumstance. On the other hand, there is a sense in which we're, again, changing not bosses, but we're restructuring the way that we're supervising all of this. And that will take some time along the way. To your first point, again, I concur in that notion that the public should have confidence in whatever decision is made here. My concern is simply that this is about some civics instruction once again, which we often do on this podcast, the law school too, that again, this is the what we had in the last administration was the aberration and not the rule. Under prior Republican and Democratic administrations, you did not, with some small, I realize again, we've got Richard Nixon, Donald Trump is huge, huge problems. But for the most part, throughout our history, we have had departments of justice that have been independent, have made these good decisions along the way, and done so without the kind of public outrage that we saw in the last administration. And again, I think we need to get back to that normalcy, if you will, where you've got a Department of Justice that people can trust and know that the chief executive is not picking up the phone and calling the attorney general and saying, what are you doing to prosecute my political enemies? We're living in the wake of that. So maybe this is plainly Merrick Garland's attempt to address that concern in the wake of history. We need to find a way to get back to normalcy when the Department of Justice can do this as a matter of course. That's its assignment. That's the rule of law assignment that every attorney general has.
Jim Santel, do you know Jack Smith?
I do not, no. I've heard of him because, of course, his overseas engagement. And as Tom, as you just said, wow, incredibly well experienced here, truly knows what he's talking about. So no concern about that at all. And perhaps if there's anybody out there who can move in, he knows the Department of Justice, knows how prosecutions work, knows how investigations work. He can move in as swiftly as anybody more than anybody on the face of the planet can. So that's not the concern. It's just these other institutional issues that give me pause tonight.
Jim, would it be Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice seeking prosecution ultimately if this special counselor Jack Smith says there's there, it still goes right back to Merrick Garland, does it not?
It does. If we follow the pattern of the Mueller investigation, which is, again, if you will, a recommendation, ultimate charging authority, as you said a few moments ago, would still rest with the attorney general. And again, hopefully not extending that too much in terms of time. But it does, it accomplishes things positively, but also raises those other timing issues.
James Santel, I want it now. Come back with us. We'll do a little Veruca Salt and talk more with Jim Santel.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 25 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow. Highs around 41. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows around 34. Highs around 51 Tuesday with a chance for scattered showers. Chance of snow 30 on Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. We'll get to you in just a bit at 844-967-2789. Our pal, Scott Ross, he's a firebrand. He's on Twitter, and he is also known as Mr. Ethics and a friend of the Devil's Advocates. Scott, thanks for sticking around, man. This Brad Path, man, I mean, it was... And for a guy like Van Orden to become a congressman is just so offensive to me. And I want to get your sense. And we've had this conversation, but I always love your take, Scott. That's why you're here, man. DCCC versus Ben Wickler and the national Dems, the local Dems. You know, Brad, you know, putting up a great fight, coming so close. Man, what could have been? Scott, what's your sense? Who do you blame on that one?
Okay, so I've been here since I moved here in 1997, so I'm a newcomer. And I have consistently seen, when it comes to House races in the state of Wisconsin, Democrats get left behind by the National Democratic contingency, DCCC, the House Majority PAC. You know, I mean, they're not even putting up fights against guys like, you know, Brian Stile and Gallagher, because they're considered to be, you know, in quote unquote safe seats, which is ridiculous, especially the way the first was redrawn. But when it came to the Brad Path versus Van Orden race, the malpractice, you know, I mean, any Democrat who donates to the DCCC who's from Wisconsin is a moron at this point, because they have never delivered for us. And this one is so offensive. You know, Derek Van Orden was at the terrorist insurrection. He was on the main grounds. He lied about it. He was, you know, he bragged in a book about sexually harassing women when he was in the military. He is on probation for trying to take a gun onto a plane. He attacked a teenage LGBTQ woman out in Western Wisconsin. And then I don't know if you guys know the story. He was in a library. And so he proceeded to then check out every LGBTQ book because they so offended him. He didn't want anybody to have access to it. And then on top of it, I'm forgetting one of the things, but these are all the things for this guy. Like, he's just wholly unfit. He refused to debate Brad Path.
Right.
You know, he was a chicken on top of it. And the idea that this is a seat that was held by Ron Kind for 26 years. You know, I used to work for Ron. Like, way back, you know, many, many, many years ago, after he was fully established as a member of Congress, but not vulnerable, so anything I did wouldn't get him thrown out of office, right?
Very important.
You know, and Brad worked for him. And the thing about it is you had this terrorist insurrectionist up against Brad. Wasn't some guy who just fell off the turnip truck. He's a former aide to kind. He was a former Obama appointee for agriculture. He's a state senator currently. And the idea that the DCCC and the House Majority PAC reneged on the commitment for $2 million in television in a race that was lost by a hair. It's just, you know, and the thing that's so upsetting about it is you didn't have to have some sort of nuanced policy debate over whose healthcare, whose healthcare plan was better. You had a terrorist insurrectionist. And we were actually out there and I helped film some ads, you know, that Brad put up. We got the, you know, we had these guys, three Vietnam veterans and a guy from Desert Storm. And like, we asked them their reaction to when they saw that Derek Van Orten was at the terrorist insurrection that he's running for Congress. They wanted to tear his head off. You know, one guy said something that I can't even repeat on air. you know, and I, you know, the idea he was just there, he would have been one of the most, he had to be one of the most vulnerable members. And it was a seat that Democrats held for 26 years. And they left Brad and they left Wisconsin high and dry. And I don't think that should ever be forgotten about it. And I know Mark Pocan was frustrated as hell about that. And he articulated there was a story in the Journal Sentinel where both Mark and Congressional Representative Gwen Moore out of Milwaukee were both like, this is garbage. Ron Kind was angry about it. And then I got to pop off. So that was fun because like nobody's paying my bills out of the DCCC and they failed us. They completely and totally failed us, you know, and you know, I hate to see a Democrat lose, especially in a tight race, but you know, the head of the DCCC, Sean Maloney, actually lost his race in New York City. Yeah. And there's some of us who like, you know, unless that's the deciding vote, you know, for keeping the House majority, good riddance, you know? But that's a thing like, it's back to the first thing that you were talking about, Mike, which is we've got, you know, Democrats have to have accountability towards these clowns. And that is using aspects like the radio because every community doesn't have a newspaper anymore, you know, but every county has a radio station. Everybody who turns on their radio dial can hear something and providing that, you know, accountability, not 3 weeks before the election when you just throw up a bunch of ads, but throughout the year, throughout the 2 year cycle, yeah, is something that Democrats are utterly and completely failing on. And I only say that because I had skin in the game because at One Wisconsin Now, we did accountability and we found stuff out about Republicans who were violating our values. And we got that into the press because it is important because people who vote tend to be older. And those people still get their news from radio, from television, and from newspapers. And so leaving that cheddar on the table and not, you know, not put something in there because you can't buy it, you know, you got to get your people on the air. You got to get those contrasts made. You got to show the difference between them and us.
That Scott, hasn't happened. I don't want to interrupt this fine conversation, but I got a few more questions. Our fine guest, Scott Ross, for a few more minutes. Scott, a two-parter to close out the segment. Gerrymandering. Does the state Supreme Court, and if we can just get someone who's not a conservative elected, could that change the outcome? And second part, citizen referendum. Scott, is it time in the state of Wisconsin for we the people to go lobby because this intransigent governance of gerrymandered Republicans against a Democratic governor means nobody's satisfied? Could we go lobby both sides for citizen referendums, binding sorts? Your thoughts, Scott Ross.
Okay, I'll take the first part first. The first part first is yes, I believe that the maps are so clearly unconstitutional that they will, that if we get a progressive court majority, that will be overturned. On your second thing, I'm a little more scared than you are, you know, because referendum costs money. And, you know, that scares me about whether or not, given all the might that business has and the Republicans have, would Democrats be able to compete? That's not to say I don't think it's not a bad idea because like this government is completely and totally unresponsive to us, the legislature. But if we change the maps, that might change it too. So I'll hold it out. I'll hold out. You got some points, Mike.
Scott Ross, our pal. Thank you so much once again, man. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least five people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP. Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed six people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Herrod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities, and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A lot of stormy songs. I even got a stormy book today. I was given a gift, the Stormy Daniels book, autographed. I don't think it was the real Stormy Daniels, though.
Yeah, I got a couple old Stormy DVDs you can have if you want, Curdy. I don't have anything I can play them on.
I bet they get real sticky in certain spots. thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel Maggie Dodd. I laugh only because you're laughing, not because.
No, we love Maggie. I mean, I could have gone
serious
with Maggie for
ass kicking guest, and yes. You know, if she didn't seemingly have that look of intensity towards future White Claws. I would have kept her on. But she kind of looked at me back, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what that look means. I'm staying for longer. So, you know, I punted, Dom. I punted.
That's all right. That's all right. We love us some Maggie Don. Thank you, Maggie.
Hopefully, you know, by leaving, you wanting more, you'll come back the next time she's on. And, you know, we want you to join us on this show.
Yeah, the audience.
Early airing of the grievances. Poor Tom's been holding for a long time at 844-967-2789. Tom, what you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm a big Maggie fan, but I got to tell you, I think I'm the number one Chris Taylor fan. Now that the Devil's Advocate network is spreading all around Wisconsin and not just in Dane County, a lot of people might not know Chris Taylor as the chief defender of the First Amendment back in the days of the crackdown on the Solidarity thing.
Well, yes. I remember, I believe, Dom and I got arrested on July 23rd, and Chris Taylor was one of the first state lawmakers. I believe her and now State Senator Melissa Agard might have also been there. But Chris Taylor, and she had some angst on her face because we didn't know if the Capitol cops would have arrested state lawmakers. And she went down and she sang in the very same rotunda where they were arresting others, but not Chris Taylor. Amazing how that worked. And
yeah, weird how the long haired guy with flip flops and shorts, I got arrested, but the state senators does not.
Well, Dom, if you'll recall the second day, the day we came back, and Tom, you might recall this, I had a blue banker suit. I had my ticket sticking out of my lapel pocket, and you, Dom, were wearing every press credential you'd ever been issued in your entire career.
Press credentials.
And he walked around and talked to every Capitol cop and said, "Do I look like a reporter now?"
Yeah, definitely. When you guys, I would definitely encourage your listeners to Google Solidarity Voice Project. That's the documentary that they made about that time. In fact, Gritty, I think you're in it. Your arrest is in that documentary. It's a really short thing there. But it's basically Chris Taylor and Melissa Agard both are on that, talking about the fact that the First Amendment should not be shut down by Republicans. It's a great little lesson, and it's nice to send it out, you know, because it's been a long time. It's been a decade.
It has been, Tom. A decade. It feels like a long time when you say it's 10 years.
I know, but come on. I mean, you know, the Republicans are all about, you know, government overreach and oppression and da-da-da-da, and they're literally, here is Scott Walker, Wisconsin Republican, sending the police to arrest people singing silly songs that are critical of the governor because he doesn't like it, and you're going to say that all these other things are government oppression, but then this is the behavior that the Wisconsin GOP engages in? Come on.
You know, I'm not sure every caucus Democrat was supportive of the Solidarity sing-along movement, the different individuals that would show up about noon every day to sing at Scott Wanker. But we always did, Don. We love those guys and girls and people. You know, they're people. 844-967-2789. Some say the best kind of people. Kind of like Robert from West Dallas. How you doing, Robert? Welcome back.
Hey, Robert.
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent.
My grievance is Georgia with this stupid 1% rule. I mean, how many times does Raphael Warnock have to beat these guys at the ballot box? Right. You know, it takes a lot of effort and resources. You know, if people want to help, that's obviously welcome, whether it's phone calls or contribution, whatever it be. The nice thing is if they get that, they'll have subpoena power. So as much as these guys in the House say they want to investigate everything, they need to remind themselves that we win that seat, then we can investigate, you know, members of Congress that maybe were involved with planning January 6th. So just something to keep in mind. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Well, hey, thank you, Robert.
You too,
back
Robert.
At you, man.
Real quick update. It just keeps coming out. A Business Insider reporting. The second woman who said Herschel Walker forced her to have an abortion stated that the Georgia Republican Senate nominee caused her collateral damage by denying the existence of their 6-year romantic relationship. All I can do is tell the truth, and I'm telling the truth, and Walker knows I'm telling the truth. The woman, who goes by Jane Doe in an effort to protect her identity, said at a Tuesday press conference led by her attorney, Gloria Allred. This is what Warnock's up against. You know, the guy who forces exes to have an abortion. You know, the family values GOP mega Republican candidate. 844-967-2789.
89. Damn it. Oh, well, it's because you interrupted me.
Say it again.
No, I'm not doing it.
844-967-2789.
Dominic, Pick real from, quick, before we sorry, get to ahead. Dick and yeah. other callers in the queue, Herschel Walker, do you see he dropped a new campaign ad against Warnock?
I did not.
Within hours of the Colorado Springs, Colorado, the club shooting, he dropped an anti-transgender ad in Georgia.
Sounds about right.
Little bit of the reporting. A CNN guest on Tuesday slammed Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker for releasing an ad targeting teen transgender athletes hours after a gunman murdered five people at the LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs. After host Don Lemon played a clip of the Walker ad, he brought on Los Angeles Times reporter LZ Ganderson to discuss its poor timing in the wake of the deadly attack in Colorado. Granderson started out by noting that it was strange to see Walker spending time talking about transgender athletes when polls showed voters are more concerned about issues such as the cost of living. Anyways, here's the statement. I'm confused because as you look at the exit polls, the issues that are on voters' mind, number one, obviously, is the economy. How do you put food on the table, paying for gas inflation? Number two is abortion. Well, he can't go down that road, can he, Dom?
I mean, sure he can. I mean, there's no shame.
Well, Dominic, following down from that are issues regarding security, safety, education. I did not see very many voter stress, confusion, or anxiety regarding trans athletes competing in sports. Granderson then suggests that the ad is a sign that Walker has little else to run on against incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock. This seems to be a manufactured issue from Herschel Walker, who had nowhere else to turn because he has no credibility discussing the economy because we understand his business dealings and he's surrounded by controversy regarding abortion and where else he gonna turn? Hate. That's what this ad is. Hate. That's all he's got left to run on. The black Republicans got a hate on the transgenders because that's all that's left for him. To appeal to what, Republican base voters?
I mean, I just don't get it. I'm the atheist here. I don't believe it. Raised Catholic, but you know how that went. That's why I'm the atheist. But I remember lots of talk about love thy neighbor. You know, hey, turn around and shake people's hands, like all that stuff. Really? And
peace.
Then they go to the
peace
hate
to you, because, right? Peace to your neighbor at the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Peace be with you. There you go. Yeah, shake peace the hand, you. All that kind of stuff. And what's...
I was always a little weirded out, and I like meeting people, but not in church. I don't know why, but when the priest says, meet your neighbor, that seems like a very inopportune time to make friends. I just don't like doing it. I'm telling
you. Well, when you're forced to. I guess on that note, let me just throw this out there from the Raw story. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints confirmed Monday that the Club Q shooting suspect was a member of their church. Of course, we know that this suspect killed five people, at least at the time, and injured two dozen more. Colorado Springs is a conservative community that is home to groups such as Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council, which has been labeled a hate, which both have been labeled hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I love Colorado, man. I mean, once we started going out there, once legal weed became around, of course, I was a tourist and went out there quite a bit. And I didn't know what to expect. And when I found out like how Colorado Springs really, really was, I mean, wow, talk about conservative. And where's the love, man? I mean, if you're going to worship a God that says, man shall not lay with a man, you're going to stick to that one. But again, bring it up. You find with the wools and linen mixing, also Leviticus. And don't even get me started on the shellfish. All right, but this is the one that you jump on. And this is a terrible situation. And if you read in the reporting of this in the New York Times and Washington Post, some of the people that fought back, and a veteran specifically, ran across and tackled the guy and, eventually beat him with his own pistol, to my understanding. And one of the drag queens came over and started stomping on the dude with their heels. And this all went down in a matter of seconds. So there, and they've come to find out, like, this person, this assault, the killer, from some of the reading I've seen, you know, went through, you know, terrible bullying as a kid. Apparently the guy is about 300 pounds as described in the New York Times, taken down by this army veteran who was, you know, just beside himself, went through his own trauma in Afghanistan and Iraq, and, you know, had to come home and deal with this.
And it was his daughter's boyfriend was one of the victims.
I mean, just absolutely terrible, and absolutely terrible. And I just wonder, you know, where's the love? You know, I mean, you claim to be all the, you know, Christians or whatever, but isn't there a lot of love? You know, turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor, take in the immigrant, all that kind of stuff. Then where is this coming from?
Something I'd point out, and I wanted to look this up, but I didn't want to get this wrong, but the Mormon Church backed the recent bill that we know Tammy Baldwin has been shepherding through the Senate. They are supportive of the same-sex equality bill, and I actually saw that as an encouraging sign. Now, the Washington Post also has some reporting that the LDS Church is supportive of the bill, as long as it's free to police boundaries for its own members.
Yeah, there's religion for you, folks. You know my opinion on that. 844-967-2789. Curdy, some of the other news of the legal news today, which we didn't get with our pal Maggie Dawn. Lindsey Graham. He had to testify.
Testify.
Testify, my love.
I do declare.
Couldn't get out of it again. Fulton County had to testify, fought. A couple other issues, right? What's going on with the special master? Remember the whole documents thing? Oh, they've got to have the special master.
The paperwork
master.
Crimes for Mar-a-Lago down?
Yes. Yeah, the top secret paperwork crimes. Why is there a special master? Well, because Trump and his legal team have no other option but to try to gum up the works, slow it down. That's what he does. Delay. And it's seemingly in front of a three-judge panel, they're not really down for it. You know, why does the former president, who is now just a citizen, just like Crudy, just like me, just like Evan, just like every one of you, why does he get this treatment? Why does he get this special master? I mean, even the claims of executive privilege, that's not gonna fly. That pertains to the current president, not the last loser. So there's some serious headwinds going on right now today with the Trump world. Alvin Bragg, Crudy, apparently he's coming back around.
Don't even bring up his name,
what
man.
Do you mean, come on.
It's never going to be Alvin Bragg Day up in here.
If he brings the charges, it could be Alvin Bragg. And here's something I read today that I was not aware of. Statute of limitations, right? You can't charge after so long. But it only applies, the clock ticks only when the state charges, when the person is in the state. Well, Donald Trump moved out of New York, so the clock stopped ticking. So Alvin Bragg can still go after Donald Trump within the statute of limitations because it has not run out yet in the state of New York.
That's the rule.
Oh, come on, man.
Putting your hopes on Alvin Bragg in a extended overtime period?
Hey, man, just any of it. If it was you or me, Crudy, hell, the fixer got charged with it. Why not Trump? I mean, if Alvin Bragg is waiting for other people to lead, I'm okay with that. Let's line them up and knock them down.
You probably are still cheering for the U.S. to win the World Cup as well, and nobody else cares.
In time, you will call me Master.
You know, honey, the guys at work tell me there's a special club we can join if we meet in the bathroom.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's.
Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 25. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs around 41. Overcast tomorrow night, 34. Low 50s Tuesday with a chance for scattered showers. Chance for snow on Wednesday. Highs in the upper 20s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. Hell of the week. We're going to take off. We'll be back next week, but you can join us right now. Air your grievances. Give us something to talk about. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, maybe anti-grievances. Maybe we could be okay. Thankful for
thankful?
Something. Thankful? Know what I'm thankful for? Badgers tipping off on the Civic Media Network tomorrow at 12:30. You know what? Part of the reason I won't be here doing a fine, great radio show with you, Dom.
Why is that, Michael?
Badgers, man. Dayton Flyers at Wisconsin. 12:30 tip-off tomorrow. Now, I believe that is a holiday tournament. So if they're successful, you know, they keep playing through the holidays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they're in the Bahamas or something. We're not there. But I'm thankful I get to listen to, you know, Badger basketball and the Badger flagship here on the Civic Media Network. WFHR is listening to them as I was driving across the state, but you can get the Civic Media app and you can listen to Badgers right here on your favorite Civic Media stations. Don't listen to the other guys. They're not as good as us. They don't love it. I'm wearing my Badger hat, man. I mean it.
You always wear the Badger hat,
well,
man.
Well, I rotate them. I got several Badger
hats. You have several Badger hats?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Some are quite tattered. Yes. I never get rid of a Badger hat. I keep them for perpetuity. And really? I wear
so
them.
You have like a 20-year-old Badger hat somewhere in the back of your closet?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
What do you do with it? I mean, is it there yet?
They become,
play with the dogs?
They become, well, my wife washes them, and then eventually they go in the dryer or whatever, and then they get, first you start losing the brim, and
right,
then when
like
they start
warm,
tattering and whatever,
miles.
Then they become like, you know, summer project hats. And then, you know, when they get very worn, they become painting hats. And eventually, they'll just bury me in a coffin full of Badger hats. They'll all get, you know, go away. I wonder if they're biodegradable. I doubt it.
844-967-2789. Catherine from Madison. Curdy's probably biodegradable. What do you got for us, Catherine?
Catherine, happy Thanksgiving early.
Yes, and to you guys, too. I'm not calling with a grievance. I'm calling with a really big thank you. I appreciate your program so much and everything you're doing throughout Wisconsin. You guys are just the greatest.
Well,
I've been
you have excellent taste, Catherine.
74. I sure do. But I've been listening to the radio since 74. I didn't have a TV for 14 years, and I've heard a lot of programs. You've got a really great station, and you guys are just the best. But I'm calling to thank you for not mentioning the name of this perpetrator in Colorado Springs. I really appreciate that. And I think the last thing we need to do is to give them any kind of fame at all. And I'm really glad you didn't mention his name.
Well, Catherine, I let Dom make that choice, and he chose not to.
Well, I appreciate that, Catherine, and I'm with you. And yeah, F that guy and all that hate, for sure. Thank you for the very kind words. 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze some more in before the end of the show. Farmer Bill, you will be next. Happy days, Farmer Bill. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys.
I'm thankful for people that turn down their radio before they call up. The greatest talk show ever.
Oh, I like listening to myself. That's so good. I called in last week and didn't get to my thing, so I'm going to get to my stick. And that is Michigan somehow overturned, through whatever to end gerrymandering. And so I'd like to shift that focus to Wisconsin. And have you guys done any research? How can we do like Michigan and gerrymandering and have a good Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Farmer Bill. Best to Thanks, Sarah Bill. And young Farmer Finn. Here is the only way it worked in the state of Michigan, as I understand it, Dom. Citizen-led referendums.
A ballot initiative, yes. Binding referendum.
The We the People movement. And I've mentioned this, Dom, and wait till the new year, because I'm going to hammer this point, Farmer Bill. I think that it needs to be revisited here in the state of Wisconsin. We've actually asked Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn's quick opinion was, effectively, this has not been visited. Binding citizen-initiated referendums have not been visited for 100 years in the state of Wisconsin. And with the current legislative gridlock, we've obviously got a gerrymandered legislature. We've got a Democratic governor, and it leaves both sides wanting. We, the people of any political stripe, are not going to get what we want. So get behind this new movement, citizen ballot initiatives here in the state of Wisconsin. If we don't get behind it, it's never going to happen. I mean, you and I, Dom, because we are the movers and shakers this state needs. And we would need legislative action. That means we need Republicans. But understand, Republicans are not going to get a hell of a lot of what they want, Bill. Republicans are going to be deadlocked with Tony Evers. He's going to veto it all, right? So they aren't getting it either. So how do you go around the veto and governor? Well, citizen initiatives, binding referendums. But to make it so, we need a constitutional amendment. It's got to pass through the legislature twice, and then they would put it before a binding citizens referendum to change the Wisconsin Constitution. Last time they did that, Dominic took away the Chief Justice chair from Shirley Abrahamson.
Or we could just, elect a less conservative Supreme Court justice come next spring, and they could overturn the gerrymandered maps.
I'm not clear that the state...
There.
I would like to think in those terms. I mean, I would love to hear that, because we care a lot about the next election, the February primary. Right now, there are at least three candidates. Dan Kelly, the very conservative former Wanker appointee, he is going to run. We know that Everett Mitchell, who is a district court judge here in Dane County, he has announced his candidacy. And we know that Janet Protasiewicz, and I hope I'm saying that right, Judge Janet, who I was introduced to directly by current Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dallet, who apparently supports her. But I am less clear, Dom, even with the turning of the Supreme Court, even if we successfully turn the majority 4-3, because Patience Rogensack, one of the worst of the conservatives, she's the one that stole the Supreme Court, the chief's thing away from Shirley, but she's been the chief, and she is not running for re-election. And if we win the balance of the court, I'm still not clear that the state courts have the power to overturn the gerrymander, because it's run all the way up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court prior. And my memory was that Kennedy let it happen. Gerrymanders, they're politically acceptable to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's my understanding. I don't know that the state courts can overturn it. We, the people, need to do something about it. Thank you to Judge Chris Taylor. Thank you to Attorney Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. If only we had either of those smart women to ask that question right now. But now you'll have to Google it or ask a friend, ask your crazy
uncle. Tune in next week. We'll find the answer for you. Hey, come back for the answers. That's what we provide all the time.
We'll be back on Monday. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey and watch some football. And Badgers on Civic Media.
Politics will turn.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.